So I'm Bruno Pitton. I work at UC Davis with Lauren Oakey and have been fortunate enough to be a part of this Clean Water 3 project. So today I'm going to talk about comparing the cost of high-quality water versus recycled irrigation runoff water. And it looks like we still have some people who are left in the room after the previous meeting versus only Clean Water 3 folks, so that's good. And so one of the things that we actually have an advisory board involved in this project of industry members, and at one of our annual meetings, one of them said something that I guess spoke to me, and he was talking about, you know, we get, as researchers and academics, we get really involved in the details and these things that growers don't really care about, and so one of the things he said is, what I want to know is, does it work, and how much does it cost? And that helped prompt this analysis, this cost analysis. So today we're going to compare the cost of high-quality water with the recycled irrigation runoff water from a nursery in Southern California, and then assess the impact of public funds can have on reducing the cost of recycled water infrastructure. And the real goal, well, the goal of the whole project is to facilitate grower adoption of reusing and recycling their irrigation runoff water. So container nursery production has the potential to use lots of water. In California, it's typically plants are produced in areas with really high ET, so greater than like 50 inches of ET in a year. There's poor interception efficiency because we use overhead irrigation, plants are spaced, and so all the water that is applied doesn't necessarily land in the container or where the plant's grown in its substrate. And so there's a lot of potential for runoff. And so if we can capture that water and reuse it, it's beneficial for everybody. And then also in Maryland and California, I know, and probably other states, there's regulations to capture runoff water and treat it before it's discharged. And so if growers are going to treat this water to water quality standards, why not treat to plant production standards and just recycle it? So the place or the location we were working with is owned by Altman Specialty Plants in Lake Matthews, California. It's a 420-acre site at 2,000 feet elevation on a plateau. And then the growing space increased during the length of this study. And so these are water years. So this is water year 2010. And water year starts on October 1st and ends on September 30th. So for 2010, that's October 1st, 2009, September 30th, 2010. And it grew from 50 acres to 157 acres of growing space in 2016. And growing space also doesn't include areas like roads and loading docks and those typically non-irrigated areas. And then in 2016, outdoor production was 53%, greenhouse was about a third, and shade was the remainder. The mean rainfall for that area is about 12 inches a year, which is pretty low, especially for those of us in the east, or those of you in the east. And that predominantly occurs in the winter. And then reference ET is greater than 50 inches a year, which happens mostly in the summer months. And then also the limited work on crop coefficients for container production show that there could be crop coefficients of 2 to 4 times reference ET. So that's a potential for a lot of water necessary to, you know, maintain plant growth. And then their water supply is untreated Lake Matthews water from the Western Municipal Water District, which I'm going to call Western throughout this, so if you hear that, that's what it means. And it's from the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, which is the big evil water empire of Southern California, right? Some people think that. So Lake Matthews water is where they get it, their irrigation water, their higher quality irrigation water. And this map shows that, let's see if I can use the pointer, this is Lake Havasu where the water starts its trip from the Colorado River. And then it travels 240 miles to Lake Matthews. And over that distance, it's pumped 1,600 feet in elevation. So that's quite the journey for this water, which makes it fairly expensive. So we got Western water use and costs from the staff at Western Municipal Water District. And There's 3 meters on the property that they measure the water use, and then there's overhead costs, and then also these variable costs as far as the water for its cost as a pumping and as a commodity. And then the recycled water costs, we calculate it through the cost of the recycled water system infrastructure and the consumable cost. So the cost of pumping that water, a total of 61 feet in head throughout the system. And so that's pumping from the ponds and then also out as irrigation. And then converted everything to 2016 U.S. dollar values. And the nursery also received rebates from water providers based on the total amount of water that they used. And they used, and so they had to meet certain recycled water goals. And they used the maximum amount of water that they could, or recycled the maximum amount of water. So they received the maximum amount of rebate. And then they also received an NRCS EQIP grant, which helped to pay for a portion of the recycled water or system. So here's an overview of the system. And this is a remnant pond that was there before they installed the recycled water system. And then also, this is only a small portion of the nursery. There's much more to the, let's see, to the left and also to the north, or yeah, which is the top as well, of growing area. And then there's a half mile long irrigation runoff channel that flows into this lower pond that's 10 acre feet. That's and that's polyethylene polyethylene sheet lined, and then also lined with weed barrier fabric. And then it's pumped up to this upper storage pond, which is a 27 acre foot holding pond where they hold the water until they use it for irrigation. And so looking at this schematic, we'll start in this far right corner. And this is a typical growing bed that's lined with weed barrier fabric, and a portion, and about 50% of them had poly sheet underneath. And so the irrigation water is applied, and they're trying to capture as much of that water as they can. And so they've lined these beds, and then it flows off into it flows off into this this open channel. There's lots of open channels that the water flows through that are lined with poly sheet and weed barrier fabric, and then into this this remnant pond is what I'm calling it, and that's unlined, and then that flows into this open channel, the half mile long channel, which is made to handle a 25-year storm event, which ends up in the lower collection pond. And then from there, it's pumped via 240 horsepower pumps through rapid sand filters into the upper storage pond, which is this 27-acre foot pond, and held there until it's used for irrigation. And then pumped via two 125 horsepower pumps through chlorine dioxide injection and out to the plants for irrigation. And so they're running it through those rapid sand filters to help reduce sedimentation in that upper pond so that they can reduce cleaning frequency. And so here's the cost of the recycled water system components. And this first column, if I can get the cursor there, cost, that's the original cost of each item. And then the net cost is the cost of the original costs with the grants and rebate subtracted from it. And then there's the useful life, which is an estimate of the amount of time that item will last. And then in order to get cost per year, we divide the cost by the useful life in years, and the net cost is the same, net cost divided by useful life in years. And so what that gives us is, I'll draw everyone to this, the left side, the lower numbers there. And so that's a total yearly cost value. And essentially what that is that's the depreciation over a year if they don't use the recycled system at all. That's how much money they lose. And this gives us the opportunity to calculate using the total recycled water use in that year to calculate a cost per unit. And then you can see also that the original system would have cost over $1 million, but because they received grants and rebates, it reduced it to about 35%. So they got about $670,000 in grants and rebates. Pretty significant. And then here's nursery water use in 1,000-gallon units over the length of the study. And 2010 to 2014, they were only using Western water. And, you know, as the nursery was growing, also quite literally growing in size, they started using more water until 2015 when they initiated the recycled water project. And they started to use that recycled water, which reduced the Western water use, but increased the total water use. And in 2016, they used about 50% of the water they used was recycled water. And then we have the water use per acre. And so this helps normalize this value so that other growers could look at this and say, oh, well, I'm not going to use 400 million gallons in a year. So what's that mean to me? And so you can see that they've actually increased their water use per acre. And potentially in 2015, 2016, they increased water use to, because the recycled water has a higher salinity content, maybe they're increased the leaching fraction, higher soil moisture to maintain that, you know, plant quality. But we're not really sure. It also could be increased production. And then, so I've just focused on the recycled water, or excuse me, the years that they were using recycled water. And so that's water year 2015, 2016, during both those years. And in the top table, we have the cost per 1,000 gallons, so that's a per unit cost. And Western water was about $2.90 a gallon, or sorry, per 1,000 gallons. And without the subsidy is without the grant and rebates included. And so that recycled water cost about $1.21 to 90 cents per gallon. And then with the subsidy, the rebates included, it reduced the cost to 40 to 50 cents per 1,000 gallons. So it's fairly significant, again. And the difference between 2015 and 2016 is the amount of water they use. That's why the price is different, because the yearly cost of the system is stable, and there's a small portion of the cost is due to the electricity for pumping the water, but the majority of it is in the system. So if they use more, the price goes down per unit. And then the lower table is the total cost of water that year. If they'd used 100% Western water, it would have cost over $1.1 million, which is very significant. And then the Western with the non-subsidized recycled water reduced the price to about $750,000 to $860,000. But because they got the grants and rebates, it was reduced even more to $650,000, $770,000, which saved them about $809,000 in 2 years. So I think we'd all like to have another $800,000. And so this shows the break-even recycled water use. And so break-even recycled water is essentially it's the cost per unit of recycled water where it equals the cost of Western water. And so that's where the water is paying for, or the recycled water is paying for itself. And on the lower, the x-axis, it's the total recycled water used. Recycled water cost per 1,000 gallons is the y-axis. And so, and the solid line is without the rebates and grants included. And you can see that's about 54 million gallons of water they needed to use, which is a total of 16% of 2016 water use. So they need to use a pretty small part before that system paid for itself for that year. And then with the grants and rebates, the dashed line, it's less than 5%, about 17 million gallons of water. It's a very small amount of water with those grants and rebates. And then what else this shows is that as you use more water, the cost per unit decreases. And then there's other added benefits. So their only water supply is Western Municipal Water. And if there's a break in disruption, then they potentially, production is ruined, right? Especially in this area that's really high ET, if it happens in the summer, they could, you know, lose all their plants. And so this provides over a week of irrigation water, this 27-acre-foot pond. And they try to keep that as full as possible so that they can maintain that supply. And then also they're capturing and reusing fertilizer. And then sustainably grown plants can attract customers or command a higher value. So in conclusion, recycled water is a cost-effective replacement to high-quality sources. And so this actually, the water, that subsidized recycled water is cheaper per unit based on the amount that they're using, then all but one of the growers that Rosa evaluated in the East Coast, one of the greenhouse growers. So it's fairly cost-effective water, and potentially it could be cost-effective in other parts of the nation, not just these drought-prone areas. And so, and also, the majority of the cost is tied up in that system up infrastructure. So once you have it built, you might as well use as much as you can because the water gets cheaper per unit. And then public funding reduces the capital cost of the recycled water system. And, you know, these funds need to be made available to help facilitate sustainable production practices. And one of the things I think Lex was going to talk about in her presentation, and as far as the survey that they conducted, was that growers, one of their major barriers to adoption was cost. And especially when you think about coming up with $1 million to install a system in an area where they're not paying, so I should go back, and Western water is about $950 an acre foot. That's what it equates to. And so there's a lot of places in the U.S. where they're not paying that much for water. And so we need to make public funds available to help these people adopt these practices because they want to, but they just don't have the means. So, yeah, and I think that's it. Got some acknowledgments, and I'll take questions. Yeah, so, Joe. Mm-hmm.
At the very end, I was wondering, have you done any work to look, see, have you assigned a value to the nutrients that are in the water?
I have not. We, well, that's more difficult to calculate, and we also are still working on that data that of what, you know, they're recovering. I know Rosa did something similar to that in her previous work, so she might know more.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.